then periodically the pain body becomes active. It moves into the mind structure that we call the self, and it energizes all those mind structures of the egoic self. And then you become a deeply unhappy self. And you are trying to make others unhappy. A deeply unhappy self will try to make others unhappy because it will also feed on others' unhappiness and emotional reactions. So that is, its job is, when it flows into the egoic self, the pain body moves in, it is looking for food. And it will get food through your mind by feeding on your negative thinking about me and my life, my dreadful life, or all the dreadful people around me that shouldn't be here. What am I doing here? My dreadful life situation and my dreadful story. And it's awful. The pain body may either be anger predominantly, or it may be deep sadness, or it may be a great sense of heaviness, or it may be an agitation of fear. And then the fear moves into the mind. Oh, what's going to happen to me? What's he going to do if he leaves me? Or that happens, I lose my job. Or that, then all night you worry. Energized mind structures, mad mind structures, made even more mad by being energized by the pain body. And the pain body loves it. It gobbles up every negative thought. And it can go on for hours. It's feeding on the energy of your mind until it's had enough, and then... So that means you've gone through the pain body attack, or feeding time, whatever you want to call it, is over. And you feel relatively okay again. In the meantime, you've made many people unhappy around you. Because the pain body is not just feeding on your thoughts, it's feeding on other people's reactions. If anybody is around you, it'll try to get something from them. A painful something to give me more pain, please. So I want you to be unhappy, because when you're unhappy, you will feed me your emotional reaction. I will absorb that, and it will feed me. So I will push your buttons. That is part of the madness of the self, the artificial mind-created sense of self, because it periodically becomes energized by collective human pain. And you think you're having a personal problem. There's nothing personal about it. It is human pain. It wants to be there. The pain body is having a great time. It's become you. It has taken possession temporarily. You're acting it out. And children have it, because humans are born with a pain body, some heavier than others. So children, you can see the transformation in a child very quick, from angelic to monster. But it doesn't last as long as with most adults. Usually, children's pain body attacks are much more quickly, and it's gone again. And it's amazing when you watch the transformation from a human being into a pain body and back to a human being. So when you have children, family, tell them about the pain body. Use a different word, but so that a witnessing presence grows in them from where they can watch what's happening to them. Make it into a game. Begin by explaining it after a pain body attack, not in the middle. Don't say, "This is your pain body, you must watch." Or, "Get rid of it. You shouldn't have a pain body." No, you allow, and then when the child has come back to full consciousness, you say, "What was that? What was it that came over you? What did it feel like? And did you remember yesterday it also came in the morning, didn't it? Yeah, isn't that funny? What does it feel like?" Maybe even temporarily give it a name so that it helps a little bit in witnessing it. And next time it happens, in the middle of it, you call out, "There it is again." The child won't want to listen because the pain body is in charge, but something will be there. A little bit of witnessing will be there. And then the child will quickly discover that you also have a pain body. And so you work together. And I know of families, they've told me that often their children tell them, "Oh, what's that?" "It's your pain body, Mum," or whatever you want to call it. And that's wonderful. Witnessing comes in so the pain body cannot use you anymore. It cannot continue to feed on the cycle of unconsciousness, of becoming you and then feeding on your mind and on other people's emotions and reactions. So simply making it conscious is part of making the structure of the self, the false self, conscious, so that when you make it conscious, it no longer dominates you. You watch it for a little while, you watch it in action. It's still there. But there's a witnessing presence, and that is the presence that grows. And it grows even as you sit here. From now on, not a single person in this room will not have grown in presence through being here. And the ability to witness what otherwise is the most difficult thing to witness in yourself, which is that enormous amount of human pain, your ability to witness it will have grown. Even that applies even to those of you who have very heavy pain bodies. You are the most promising candidates for liberation, those who have heavy pain bodies, because their longing to be free is greater. "Can't stand this anymore. I had a dreadful pain body, and so I couldn't stand it anymore." Gone. Evaporated all at once, which is relatively rare. So it's a gradually it loses energy, its energy charge. It's fine. It doesn't turn into suffering anymore. It's simply emotional pain. Suffering requires a self, a mind-made self. Suffering requires a me and a storyline. Without a me and a storyline, you no longer suffer. Because there's nobody there to suffer. Because only if you have a story in your head of who you are and what your life is, that is suffering. What is left is simply pain. And even that is a word that we might not even need anymore. There's simply a certain energy field there that feels a bit agitated or tight or heavy. And you allow it to be, just as you allow whatever arises in this moment to be. Allowing to be implies, of course, you're there as the witness. You watch it. You allow it. Yes, there's the anger, there's the fear. Fear is a very common thing in most... Every pain body has... Even if it's not predominantly fear, an essential ingredient of every pain body is fear. There's fear somewhere. Even if it seems to be anger mostly underneath it, you will find fear. And of course there's the desire not to want to feel it. It's the most normal thing in the world, is not to want to feel fear. The most normal thing in the world is not to want to face it. Let's think about something else so that I just don't want to feel what I feel. But you can't, because the feeling will catch up with your mind, and then it'll go into your thoughts and you will think fearful thoughts. And by thinking fearful thoughts about what's going to happen to you, you're feeding the pain body. So you can see that how you can allow the pain body to be there and face it. Not harshly, but allowing is a gentle thing. Not face it by opposing it, or say, okay, let's see who is stronger, you or me. No. You simply, just as you would allow an event that takes place externally to be, you allow the pain body to be. It is. It is. There's a fear. And then you don't even need to call it fear anymore. There's simply that movement. And you lie there, it's 4 o'clock in the morning. It's used your mind for a while, and then you woke up out of identification with it, and all that's left now is that vibration that before you called fear, but now is simply a vibration. It's not that bad when it's no longer an unhappy me. It's only a vibration now. And you allow. Certain words may be helpful in your mind, just as little pointers. And the words that may be helpful may simply be, it is. Or I allow it to be. It's what is in the field of now. Let it be there. It's there, so let it be there. And that what then develops is, even around the pain, a spaciousness through the allowing. And that at first it's only a hint of spaciousness around the pain. And then it grows. You allow more. You continue to allow. And there's still the vibration, but the sense of spaciousness around it gets larger. And that may begin with simply being able to feel the space in your body where there is no pain body. The pain body may be, the vibration of it may be here, but in your arms or legs, there's still a spaciousness, an aliveness, and you feel that. That becomes part of the space around the pain body. And you sense the field of spaciousness in which the vibration happens. And gradually the shift happens from, you realize the spaciousness is so much vaster than the pain that's happening in it. Before there was only the pain, and I was the pain. It was dreadful, dreadful. And now the pain is no longer I, it's no longer a self. It's no longer an unhappy little entity. It's simply a vibration. And around the vibration, because you allowed it to be, there is a space. And then the space, the sense of space grows. The allowing becomes deeper. And then the little smile comes. It's only a vibration. It's not that bad at all. It's okay. It's just life vibrating. Something was trapped in here. And through accepting and realizing the space that is around it, that energy then becomes freed, that was trapped in the pain body, and becomes aliveness, ultimately consciousness. It contributes to your sense of presence, like putting something into a fire, and then the fire consumes it, it grows stronger. So the pain body becomes fuel for your presence. And then there's a vast sense of spaciousness and remnants, perhaps, little remnants of pain still appearing here and there. That's called freedom. That's called liberation. It's a simple process. So it is a process of depersonalizing pain, of realizing that there is not a person in it. It is a fiction to believe that my identity is that suffering me. It's human pain. The whole transformation of consciousness that we are involved in is a sense of depersonalizing your sense of identity, so that your sense of identity is not trapped in an image of me, the little person, the personalized sense of self, this narrow personalized me with my past and my future, both of them very problematic. And when that goes, you are no longer a problematic entity. And the little self says, who would I be without my problems? Oh, I don't know if I want to let go of all of that. So many years invested. Step out into the unknown. So familiar with the miserable little me. But you are stepping out, and it is dissolving. That's the beauty of transformation and the simplicity of it. And the pain body is your greatest asset in the arising of presence, because it is the pain, the energy that is trapped in the pain body will fuel presence. Presence will transform it into itself. So, if you have a heavy pain body, you're lucky. If you have a light pain body, there's still hope for you too. Humanity has come to the end of suffering. That is, with the end of the old consciousness, humanity has come to the end of suffering. And you see, the suffering has been unbelievable, the madness of it, self-inflicted, most of it. Self-inflicted suffering is... We are coming to the end of suffering. We have suffered enough. As a species, you have suffered enough. No further suffering is needed to become free. You've had enough to be here. Are we feeding the insanity of mind and the planet by watching violence on the news, TV, or movies? Yes. And who is watching the violence? The pain body. Who is financing all these violent films? Pain bodies. Who makes these violent films? Pain bodies make them. Pain bodies watch them. Pain bodies love them. Pain bodies pay to watch them. So I forgot to mention that. Another way in this culture, in this civilization, in ancient times, we didn't have the TV and movies. So all the pain body had to feed on was your mind and other people's emotional reactions. But now we have a whole industry designed to feed pain bodies. Why else would anybody watch violence on a screen and pay for it and sit there and love feeling bad? Oh, dreadful, dreadful, but they pay to get in. Because it feeds the pain body. There is a whole industry designed to feed the human pain body. Amazing. And no talk about let's abolish violence. Politicians say let's abolish the violence on TV. They won't, because there's a great demand for it. Who is demanding? Pain bodies. They love it. And as long as they are there, they'll produce those things. It's amazing. One doesn't see the madness of our civilization because we are so used to it. But when you see it, it's almost funny. When you see, it's a tragic comedy. But it turns into a comedy, begins when you watch it, when you watch your own tragedy and realize it as a story, when you watch your own drama and realizing as a mind-created fiction designed to give you a sense of identity in the absence of any true sense of identity. Okay, I'll hang on to the miserable one. It's when you see it, the drama, your own drama, as illusion, then you either laugh or smile. And then you begin to laugh and smile a lot more when you see it around you. There was a time when I would see people privately a lot, and people would come in, and many people then, I don't see people, rarely see people privately, and when I do, not many people tell me their stories anymore, but there was a time when they did, and often as I sat there, simply in a sense of allowing this unhappy me to be there, and the great sense of presence and peace and aliveness, and while they told me their drama, I couldn't help but, there was always a smile on my face. No thought, just a smile. And then sometimes he got angry and said, "Good, you're laughing at me, I'm telling you all this, it's serious stuff, and you're laughing at me." And then I had to explain, I can see that this is an illusion. What do you mean? It's an illusion? Yes, and it feels so good to just be here. The presence is so wonderful. That's why I smile. It's nothing to do with your particular story. And some left at that point. The teaching hadn't developed quite yet that fully, so I wasn't able to explain as well as I explain now, and some just left. Another interesting event is sometimes when pain bodies arise while people sit in a group situation, and the pain body is being addressed, and something inside quivers. Let's get out of here. Somebody's looking at me. Pain bodies don't like to be looked at. I'm using looked at as almost a metaphor, which means to put the light of attention on it. Because they thrive in non-attention, inattention, if that's a word. They thrive in and through unconsciousness. When you become conscious and look at the pain body directly, it shrinks, it withdraws, it tries to get away. It might become very, extremely dormant. Pretend that I'm not here anymore. but it's waiting, just like a fox would be very clever. It's waiting for a better moment. And so sometimes sitting here is not the best moment, but some heavy pain bodies have reacted in a group because they couldn't stand it anymore. They were being addressed directly, and suddenly they became agitated, and one person gets up and stomps out of the room, and or even shouts, happened once, shouts something. "This is all a load of rubbish," somebody in England once shouted. "It's all a load of rubbish." And there was a pain body speaking. It was such a perfect illustration. It was just a small group I had then, 15 people or so, but it was such a perfect illustration of what I had just been speaking about that other people thought I had engaged an actor to illustrate. So the question to, yes, you are feeding the pain body when you watch violence, but probably your desire to watch violence will be greatly diminished if it's still there, simply by being conscious of that process. You may still occasionally feel that in you which wants to watch it. There may be still be, but then you can, oh, there it is. And news, of course. News is also mentioned in the question. There are a few people in a few offices around big cities, and they choose what they give you, feed you as news. They choose, say, this matters, this is important, we are going to feed them this and that and that. And they, what they choose is an expression of their state of consciousness. And often the pain body is an important part of their state of consciousness. So what you watch is not actually the world news, is what a few people who embody a particular state of consciousness, and usually it's not the new one, choose as significant. And you can imagine what they choose, and you know what they choose. There's a lot happening that they wouldn't choose. And yet, even there, occasionally, even into television, where there's relatively little consciousness, which usually pulls you into unconsciousness, but even there are sometimes consciousness moves into that channel also. It happens through a few programs that bring in more awareness, even a few films. And I got a letter recently written by a TV station, and the interviewer, a person who interviews, said, "I would like to ask you if you want to be interviewed for TV, Canadian National Television, CTV, but I very much doubt that you will agree to my request because of what you said." And then he quoted something that I had said in the letter, which is, "If you want to find out about the insanity of the human condition, I recommend that you read a history book or you watch TV tonight." So he said, "I know it's unlikely that you will give me an interview, but I just want to ask anyway." I am very happy if consciousness, I don't reject TV as a medium, if consciousness moves through it, it's beautiful, and perhaps this will happen increasingly. There are some programs that are expressions of Oprah is doing very great work, has already transformed many people's lives, and a few others. So that there is something there that is moving towards an awakening. So I may say yes to the interview. And the amazing thing is they want to put it out as part of their news program. This is a miracle. I've been saying for years in groups, our meeting here is not going to be on TV tonight. I say. because it's not significant enough for the people who choose what is significant. In fact, it's extremely significant. It's one of the most significant events on the planet, is this gathering. It goes beyond the personal, because it's about the transformation of human consciousness. And oftentimes I've said in groups like this, you see, but they're not going to put it on TV tonight. And perhaps soon they will. That would be another miracle. So...